Chapter 27. Mara sprinted back up the crowded Port Duggan shipyard arm. What had committed to scramble the DDF? But plainly, something had gone terribly wrong planetside. Leah's agony made the force ring, like gaffy sticks crushing Mara's knees and calves. At the end of her own dock, a Corduro group barred the way. Mara considered her blaster, unhooked her lightsaber instead, and tipped it up against her right wrist. A flick of her hand would drop it into her grip. "Excuse me," she said, shouldering into the group of guards.
"Whoa there," the nearest, a squint-eyed human, said. "This docking arm has been closed, off limits."
"My ship is docked there," she said, "and I'm leaving."
This time, she threaded her words with a hint of subliminal command.
"Let me through."
"All ships on this arm have been co-opted by Duro Defense." A Duros stalked forward. "Sorry. You'll have to find another ride."
"You'll have to find another ship," Mara said blandly. "You're not having any luck getting mine open, are you?"
"Oh," the Duro said. "Slip 16F? We just monitored an X-Wing snub fighter launching out of your main bay."
"Right," Mara said, "and the hatch's lock is rather unconventional. For good reason. If I'm going to claim diplomatic status, you probably want to see my papers."
It was an old dodge, and she really didn't expect it to work. The Duros extended a knobby hand.
"They're on board," Mara said. "Come with me."
He walked her up to the slip. Unfortunately, he brought his goons. Mara frowned. She didn't have time to make this a pleasant farewell. She touched her inport lock's corners in rapid order, then pressed her thumb to the center. But that was just for show. Luke had embedded a second locking mechanism under the plating, inaccessible to any non-Jedi. She levitated the hidden mechanical catch, and the hatch swung open. A voice behind her said,
"Now freeze!"
Utterly unsurprised, Mara spun left. With one motion, she bent her knees slightly and dropped the lightsaber into her palm. Before the next heartbeat, she'd ignited it.
"Don't make me—"
A uniformed Duros stood just behind the near human, pointing a blaster at her. Mara's left leg straightened, sweeping the human off balance. Her blue blade followed around as the Duros fired. Mara deflected the shot, leapt backward into the shadow, and then shut the hatch. Clanging noises reverberated from the outside. She dropped into her seat, secured herself, and signaled the docking cables to release. They didn't, of course.
"If that's the way you want it," she muttered.
She brought up the repulsors and hit the transmitter.
"Docking authority," she said crisply. "This is Jade Shadow in 16F. If you don't want your slip torn apart, I'd release the cables."
Someone babbled at her. By then, her engine lights had turned green. Keeping one hand on the braking lever, she twitched her throttle rods once, twice in warning. Then she cut the brake and roared out of dock, trailing the cables and a good-sized chunk of the dock's exterior bulkhead. Metal banged against her portside hull, and she winced at every crash and crunch. Her external sensors confirmed electromagnetic locks on each of the three trailing cables. She couldn't do much to those. Besides, an X-Wing streaked skyward like a shining dart.
"Anakin," she exclaimed, "I'm coming at you. Got some unwanted debris along my port side."
"I see it," her nephew's voice came. "Put your shields up, and I'll—"
"Shields are already up."
She steered away from Buru, into open space. "At minimum extension. Crease my ship and you're bantha fodder." A blast of laser light barely missed her port side. She checked her scanners as Anakin flashed past under the shadow's belly.
"Good try," she said, "but it's still there."
She couldn't fight coral skippers or go to light speed trailing that piece of garbage. Then she heard another welcome voice.
sensed another strong presence in the force.
Hold course, Mara. I'll get it.
She clenched both hands on the stick and throttle. From behind, a brilliant light shaft passed so close that the canopy's radiation shield momentarily darkened. Another XJ fighter followed the energy blast, S-foils deployed in combat configuration.
About time you showed up, Skywalker, she murmured. Thanks.
Jason slipped deeper into the force, committing himself utterly. Though the building seemed to be both spinning and tipping, his senses flooded with a reverent, joyous sense of thanksgiving and homecoming. Yes, he was small. Small people had to offer their hands, or else for all the force's magnificence, it could do little. He longed to fall into that vortex, to serve the light and transmit its grandeur. Wait, he sensed again. Ignoring his throbbing scalp wound, he slashed at the War Master's arm as it dangled the red garrote creature over Leia. The big Yuuzhan Vong drew back and dropped it. Writhing, it curled up on the rough floor. The War Master whipped out a short, snake-headed baton and held it against his forearm.
Doroic Vong Prat! He shouted.
He circled left, taking Jason's measure. This one's armor was different. Those scales grew out of his body, giving no clue where its weak spots might lie. Jason still couldn't sense him in the force, but now he felt a rippling of anticipation. He would know, microseconds ahead of the moment, where and when the muscular alien would attack. He also knew that amphistaffs could spit venom. He backed out of range.
Coward,
the War Master growled.
Unworthy.
Jason sensed his mother's weakening presence. He buried his worry and used a light, slightly mocking tone to answer, I'm just not stupid. Sensing an odd flicker in the force, he brought his lightsaber up to parry. In the next instant, the short black baton stretched its mouth wide, revealing four white fangs against a cottony membrane. A stream of venom sprayed at him. It boiled and hissed against his shining green blade. That might be all the poison it could eject for several seconds. Jason swept in, centering his lightsaber, then slashing wide and down. The War Master deflected his cut with the baton, whipping it away from his body, spinning and jerking. Jason leapt back. At the corners of his vision, the priestess and her musicians edged toward the wall. The middle-sized Yuuzhan Vong had vanished, taking Leia's lightsaber. A door guard paced closer, holding something between hands that suddenly bristled with elongated claws. Binding jelly? Jason had time to wonder. Extendable fighting claws? How many of you does it take to kill someone you call coward? He taunted.
You are beneath me, the War Master said. You are not worthy to die at my hand.
Now, a voice whispered at the back of Jason's mind, fall in and stand firm. Staring the War Master fully in the face, Jason dived into the magnificent depth. The galaxy spun and tipped around him. Seemingly at the galaxy's very edge, the black-robed priestess raised her hands. Jason stepped over Leia and raised his own. Power flowed through him, around him, inside him. A decorative iron sconce flew off the wall, piercing one crab harp with a spang. A chair slid past the War Master. The alien gave it only a glance, but it struck his door guard broadside, toppling him. From another corner, several massive equipment lockers rose into the air. Leia's focus cooker floated, hovered a moment, and then joined the spinning vortex with Jason and Leia at center. Finally, Leia's massive desk started to slide. It struck the befuddled War Master, knocking him toward the north window.
Jason half saw one musician fall, struck by the same sailing wall sconce that had pierced his compatriot's crab harp. Near the door, someone shouted, "Jason!" The War Master sprang toward him. He felt the force bring the desk back around. He heard a satisfying crunch of armored scales. The War Master tumbled out the window. The priestess and her remaining harper lay twitching on the stone floor, plainly stunned. Jason scooped up the furry red garrote creature. Jaina sprang through the doorway, lightsaber drawn and ready. She blinked as objects fell helter-skelter. Jason arranged the red creature around Leia's legs, just above her knees. It hung limp. Struck by inspiration, he whacked the priestess's abandoned drum. The red creature tightened like a tourniquet.
"Wow," Jaina muttered. "I take it you're back to using the Force."
Jason slid one arm around his mother's shoulders and slipped his other arm under her bloodied legs, already wondering if using the tourniquet was wise. If he cut off her circulation completely for long enough, she could lose both lacerated legs. It might come to a choice between saving her legs and saving her life. "You've got to run interference," he told Jaina. "If I use the Force to control her arterial blood flow, I can't concentrate much on where I'm going."
"And you're bleeding, too."
"Not serious," he insisted. "Not like this." Jaina raised her lightsaber again.
"Follow me."
She led to the stairway, paused only a moment, and then vaulted over the railing. Jason jumped next, slowing his landing as well as he could so not to jostle Leia.
"Hurry," he told himself. "Hurry."
In his mind, he saw Anakin's haunted eyes, his dad's horrible grief for Chewbacca. Again, he plunged deep into the Force. Savang La struggled to his feet, then tumbled sideways. Besides the crushed armor scales along his side, his left foot would not hold his weight. He made it up onto his knees. Three warriors, on guard outside this built thing, rushed up to him. Two averted their eyes, afraid to observe his humiliation. The third glanced up at the window, tightening his lips.
"You were attacked, War Master. We will avenge you. Take my life as offering, and make it certain."
Nodding at the perfectly appropriate offer, Savang swept out his baton. The warrior knelt, bowing his head. Savang swung, putting all of his fury into the gesture. The underling collapsed lifeless.
"All glory to you, warrior."
Savang wiped spittle from his fringed lips, then motioned for the two others to remove the fallen one's body to the burning pit. Four more warriors arrived on the run. Deep, grinding pain jabbed up from Savang's wounded foot as they steadied him in a standing position.
"Bring Tuskart and Skauru," he ordered, "and take down this built thing."
He ordered another.
"Divert the outflow from the deep well underneath it. Flood the tunnels."
Nomanor hurried up to his side.
"They will not escape," he assured the War Master.
Savang La glared at the executor, who had fled while the others fought.
"Hope that Yun Harla favors you today," he said through clenched teeth.
"I was forced to retreat,"
Nomanor interrupted before Savang La could lay the charge of cowardice.
"The watchers still indicated another Jedi's approach."
Two massive shapes slithered up the street, driven by handlers with heavy amphistaffs, and Savang brushed Nomanor aside. Serpent-like Tuskart looped the built thing with his coils. Chitinous Skauru attached herself to him, raised up, then let her powerful head fall against the windowless lower story. Durakrete blocks crumpled like pavise twigs. Skauru's maw closed on a cascade of them, feeding with delirious joy.
Then she took a second swing. Han sank down on the Falcon's captain's chair.
"Get up here, Goldenrod!" he shouted. "Move, move!"
The droid sashayed into the cockpit.
"But, sir..."
"Sit," Han ordered, "or I'll replace you with a pair of clamps."
Han flipped a row of power switches. For once, the old bucket didn't whine and die.
"Buckle in," he muttered. "This won't be one of our smoother runs."
Why had he sent Droma off on the refugee ship? C-3PO was the worst possible co-pilot. He fired the repulsors. The freighter rose bare centimeters into the air.
"Sir, what do you want me to do?" C-3PO pleaded.
"Cover the comlink."
Jaina had sent coordinates for the tunnel's nearest exit point. As soon as she signaled again, he'd have to move. Jason tried not to jolt Leia as he leapt one more fallen warrior. The physical world seemed foggy, less real to him than his invisible struggle to save his mother.
"This way!"
Jaina gripped her lightsaber in one hand. She led off the bottom flight of stairs into the storeroom and flung open the tunnel door. A rush of foul-smelling water cascaded out. Jason turned sideways and let the first flood wash past him, then waded forward. Leia's head slumped against his shoulder. She seemed unbelievably light. Water would wash away any chance for blood clotting. He couldn't worry about saving her legs anymore, only her life. With the force still flowing through him, he virtually stopped the blood flow into her major arteries. The Garot creature, its master's unintelligent servant, clung tightly, blocking surface bleeding. He struggled past the gushing water source. At least the flood would push them and their scent downstream, so the Yuuzhan Vong couldn't send tracking creatures after them. Ahead, Jaina's lightsaber gave off a soft violet glimmer. Jaina eyed her datapad map. Where this tunnel joined the old mines, the map showed a major drain hole, a vertical shaft. They were traveling toward it with this flow. It would suck them down unless she established an anchor point.
"I'm going ahead," she told Jason. "Watch for me."
Then she extinguished her lightsaber, hooked it to her belt, and plunged into foul, icy water. It tugged at her mask and made a sickening taste on her lips. She took strong strokes, barely sensing the walls that rushed by. Reaching ahead with the force, she sensed the deadly tug from ahead as waters poured down the shaft. She turned about and thrust her feet forward. Then she thrust them down, bouncing herself sideways, out of the strongest current. Each bounce took her just a little farther left. She couldn't see at all, but she'd learned to navigate half-blind. Her force sense told her when she'd nearly reached the tunnel wall. Giving one more powerful bounce, she flung herself up and almost out of the water. She scrabbled for a fingerhold on the rock, fell back into the water, and went under. Fear coiled around her, colder and deadlier than the flood. She fought it aside, got her head up, gasped for air, then bounced herself clear again. This time she caught hold of a scratchy outcropping. She unhooked and lit her lightsaber and saw that she'd missed the deadly shaft by only 2 meters. She jammed her lightsaber's pommel into a crack in the wall, like a lantern in a sconce, then yanked off the utility belt she'd scammed from the Jade Shadow. Mara had taken Shadow on a long sweep out, watching for new hostiles, so she saw them first. She slapped her transmitter.
"Jade Shadow to Duro Defense Force," she called. "Big Coral at 4-5 Mark 06. Look out, Poesy."
A Yuuzhan Vong fighter carrier had appeared at roughly 45 degrees south, plainly targeting the Mon Cal cruiser. Waves of coral skippers flew off the big carrier's arms. Larger objects followed, maybe attack craft, maybe creatures. Not that it mattered anymore. Mara swooped back toward Buru, searching her tactical display for Luke's and Anakin's X-Wings.
E-Wings and Dagger Ds poured back off Buru and the other cities around Duro's inhabited ring. This time, shields went up on all the orbital cities except Orome. Several explosions had shaken it while Mara patrolled. Its lights had gone dark. It had drifted down almost to blue line. Or brown line, in Duro's case. She'd lost all sense of Leia. Another Yuuzhan Vong battle group appeared out of hyperspace near Duro's north pole. This group split into four squadrons. Mara's sensors showed each squad with 20 or so coral skippers out front, followed by something bigger, unidentifiable, and then more skips.
"Attention!"
the now familiar alien voice thundered on her comm unit.
"Defense forces, stand down! Go to ground at one of the on-planet settlements and your lives will be spared. Resist and you will be destroyed. Settlement dwellers, remain where you are. Choose peace, not destruction."
A second voice, a Duros voice, spoke.
"Evac ships, vector south. Repeat, vector south. The enemy is coming in from roughly north. Duro Defense Force ships will cover any escape shuttle we can."
Mara adjusted her headset and spoke on the private link.
"Luke, where's Han? What's keeping him?"
"I'm not getting anything from him."
Luke's voice sounded strained. Another battle group appeared, diving toward a second sector of the orbiting arc. The first group's coral skippers skimmed the first habitat in their vector, blasting away at its defenses. Then the larger ship creature swooped in. It launched something at the city. Mara's sensors went berserk.
"Tovin Basil," she exclaimed. "A monster!"
Seconds later, that city's shields flickered out. A Tovin Basil with that kind of appetite could pull down the city, just like Cernpadal's moon. Small craft popped off the other cities like flak ants. The first wave of attack craft ignored them. A few evac ships winked out, vanishing into hyperspace. The Yuuzhan Vong's second attack wave caught the lag behinds. Again, the voice ordered evacuees to go to ground. Hardly any did. With the second attack wave came corvette analogs that peppered the cities with asteroid-sized debris. Atmosphere jetted off into space. Here and there something exploded, lighting the city surfaces. Orome fell faster now, sinking visibly, starting to glow at its edges. Mara blinked. An entire city. Coral skippers and defenders swarmed Poesy. Now and then its big lasers picked off a coral ship. Mon Cal Cruiser's shields were legendary, almost invincible. But as one of the Tovin Basil launchers vectored in, and a flight of E-Wings tried to divert, Mara guessed even Poesy wouldn't last long. Then a third wave of attack ships appeared. If the War Master meant to show the New Republic exactly how much force he could command, he was doing a fine job. The number of coral ships appalled her, assembling here for their strike at the core. And there'd be no help for Duro from Centerpoint or Coruscant. Disc-shaped Erdorf gathered momentum, driving obliquely out of orbit. Admiral Watt had pulled most of his fighters in toward this quadrant, since Erdorf was the only Duro city with any real chance of survival. Among its defenders, Mara spotted two X-Wings.
"Party time,"
she muttered, vectoring in to join them. Jason heard Jaina calling as he fought the current, trying not to get sucked toward that thundering drain hole. Her presence drew him to the left. Then he saw her by pale violet light, crouching beside a stack of stones, dangling a utility belt's cable. She flung it. He grabbed it, hooked it to his waist, and braced himself against the current, helping her reel him in. Then he sank onto the stones, chilled and exhausted, getting his strength back. Jaina leaned toward Leia, touched her face,
She's alive, she murmured. But barely. Can you go on?
Jason's legs ached as he pressed upright.
Go, he answered. I'll be right behind you.
She paused to snatch her lightsaber off the wall and thumb her comlink.
Dad, can you read?
No answer.
This way, Jace. I'll get out where I can transmit.
Han held his position, waiting. He couldn't grab for orbit until he heard from...
Dad!
Jaina's voice called out of the console.
I'm out, and Jason's coming with Mom.
Han hit the main engines. The freighter soared out of concealment and swooped away from Gateway Dome. Glancing down, he counted 9 bristly landing ships, an infestation of gigantic seashells near the dome's north side. Go, Droma, he ordered over the comm. All shuttles, vector south. We'll be right behind you. Seconds later, the overloaded cargo ship blasted out of its haystack. Beyond the dome, 1 blocky hauler and a pair of YT-1300s clawed for space.
There, Captain Solo.
C-3PO pointed at the sensors. Far below, a lone figure waved something like a glimmering violet candle. I see her. He feathered the main engines and swooped down.
Oh, no, C-3PO moaned. Those must be coral skippers. Coming in at 4.
I see him, I see him. Han set the Falcon to hover and dropped the boarding ramp. To his satisfaction, a second figure followed Jaina, staggering out of the hillside tunnel entry. Then he saw Leia in Jason's arms and the blood staining their legs.